Greetings, everyone. Happy Pentecost to everyone, especially those who log on from the road or from home. And I hope you have safe travels or you're doing better and can join us soon. I understand the Shaws are in Montclair and they will be joining us this afternoon. Afternoon services will be at 2:30. Or right after I'm done here with the sermon, you're right. Now we are trying to shoot for that. We might have to move it out a little bit. We'll see. But for right now, we probably will stick with 2:30. Let us begin with Leviticus 23, verse 9 through 17. Thank you to Steve Hansen for providing the framework for us today. Leviticus 23, 9, verse 17, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come to the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord so that you may be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And on the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb a year old without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. And the grain offering with it shall be 2/10 of an ephah." And you will see that's exactly the same volume for Pentecost as well. That's about 18.5 cups of fine flour mixed with oil, a food offering to the Lord with a pleasing aroma. And the drink offering with it shall be of wine, 1/4 of a hin, which is about 4 cups. And you shall eat neither bread nor grain, purged or fresh, until the same day, until you have brought the offering of your God. It is the statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Verse 15, you shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwelling places 2 loaves of bread to be waved, made of 2/10 of an ephah, which is then divided by 2 for each loaf. It's about 9.25 cup. They shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. For the wave sheaf, it was mixed with oil. The other one was baked with leaven. The wave sheaf was accepted first. And I gave, in essence, part one of that sermon 50 days ago, or by now 51 days ago, before the full spring harvest was brought near. The 50 days were not a fast road to perfection, but an appointed span of calling, counting, and gathering. That's why we are gathered here today. Ruth came to Bethlehem at barley's beginning, and her story moved across the field toward the wheat harvest 50 days later. Boaz stood as a faithful redeemer, while Ruth showed the strangers being welcomed into covenant mercy. If you don't take anything else away from this message today, it is Ruth showed, or her example showed, the strangers, the foreigners, being welcomed into covenant mercy. After all, she was a Moabite. Moabite means from the father, meaning when Lot fathered a child with his oldest daughter. That's where they got that name from. She was a despised woman. No, people in Bethlehem didn't look too kindly on Moabites. Acts begins with Jesus Christ raised from the dead, then moves toward Pentecost, where many are called and made one. He taught, he spent 40 days with the disciples, and many, many more, obviously, the 120 then were part of that first Pentecost, speaking about the kingdom of God. You know, if we feel we're not allowed to say anything, or when we talk to each other, or even for people who want to give topics for a sermon or sermonette, speaking about the kingdom of God is a good place to start. This is the spring first fruits calling of the body and bride of Christ, us at this time, not the broad fall harvest of all mankind, as we understand. Join me in asking, how are we called and made one? How are we called and made one? Let us explore this question in the remaining minutes of this message. The title of today's message, or this morning's message, is From Wave Sheaf to One Body. From Wave Sheaf to One Body. Called and gathered together, those who like bylines. Called and gathered together. We begin in the accepted one. Again, we begin in the accepted one. The wave sheaf came before the wheat offering. The first accepted sheaf carried the promise of more to come. It was the beginning of the spring harvest that lasted 50 days. For us, Jesus Christ stands first, and we are called after him. But we are of that same harvest. Let's turn to return to Leviticus 23, verse 10. Leviticus 23, verse 10. Israel received the harvest commands as a people taught to honor the eternal in the land. Before eating any of the new grain, they first brought the sheaf before the priest. In essence, it's the same with our offering today. Before we enjoy a lunch or enjoy of the blessings God has given us, we give first to our Creator. Not to the IRS, to our Creator. The count to the Feast of Weeks began with acceptance, not with human readiness. Now, sometimes we feel like, do we measure up? Are we ready? How can we be ready? No, the process starts with acceptance. That we are accepted. And why are we accepted? Because Jesus Christ the first was accepted. Leviticus 23, verse 10 through 11. Leviticus 23, verse 10. Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, so that you may be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you understand that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of that wave sheaf offering. The command taught Israel that harvest belonged first to the Most High. The people could not treat the field as their own before honoring the giver. For us, the pattern begins with Jesus Christ accepted first before the gathered body is presented. And today is the day where we are being presented. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, for the next scriptural passage. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. Paul wrote Corinth because some questioned the resurrection of the dead. Who wouldn't question that? Because it's something that's never happened before. He answered by placing Jesus Christ first in the order of resurrection life, spiritual resurrection life. Harvest language helped explain the hope of those who belong to him. You know, we put it in terms that the agricultural society could understand and relate to. They knew it's not just going to be a barley harvest, there's going to be a wheat harvest after that. You know, he put it in that it became natural, that progression is natural. As sure as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and being wave sheaf offering, each one of us have that guarantee, that assurance, because he was accepted first. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 through 23, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. for us in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Lately, we hear a lot of, people thinking that somehow Pentecost is reflective of us being resurrected. No, it says clearly here, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, and the feast of Feast of Trumpets is obviously symbolizes that time. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Jesus Christ is not one race life among many equal lives. He is the first fruits, the one with preeminence, the prototokon in Greek, and those who belong to him follow in his order, but that's guaranteed. That's the beautiful thing, it's guaranteed. Our calling rests on his accepted life, not on our own completeness. Let's turn to Acts 2, verse 22. Peter preached in Jerusalem to hearers who knew Israel's feasts and scriptures. He announced that Jesus Christ had been rejected, killed, and raised by our Father. And that, by the way, the entire house of Israel was there, not just some select Jews. No, people came from all tribes. They came to Jerusalem, those who were still believers. He announced that Jesus Christ had been rejected, killed, and raised by our Father, and that each one of us is guilty of that. Pentecost witness began with the accepted one whom death could not hold. Actually, his body never decayed in those 3 days and three nights. He never saw corruption. Acts 2, verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this one delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified each one of us. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, losing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. And the same will ultimately apply to each one of us or our loved ones who have gone before us. Death cannot hold us. Peter did not begin with the strength of the gathered people, how awesome people were. That was definitely not a pep rally, was it? He began with Jesus Christ raised by our Father. We are called and made one only because the accepted first fruit stands before us. The accepted chief leads us to Barley's beginning in Bethlehem. We are called from empty roads. We are called from empty roads. Ruth's path began with grief. Naomi returned with sorrow, and Ruth came with love. That's what her name means. Trusted companion, friendly companion. Naomi's name means sweetness. But during that time, he said, don't call me sweet, call me bitter. No, for that time, because it was so difficult. But Ruth came with her mother-in-law in love, even though she would stand out in Bethlehem. It's very obvious where she's from. The calling of the strangers often begins before comfort appears. Often it starts with pain. That applies to whether people have to migrate across borders or in a spiritual sense. People oftentimes come as a result of tremendous pain. Well, let's always remember that. Ruth 1, verse 16. Ruth lived in the days of the judges, when Israel often lacked faithfulness and order. That's nicely put. It was oftentimes chaotic. You know, people didn't know what was up or down. Naomi's family had gone to Moab during famine and had been broken by death. Now, Naomi's husband and two sons passed away while there. Ruth's answer bound her to Naomi, Naomi's people, and the Almighty of Israel. Let's read that passage. It's such a beautiful passage. Ruth 1, verse 16 and 17. Ruth 1, verse 16. Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For while you go, where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." She lived up to her name, friendly companion. Ruth's loyalty was costly, not convenient. She had to leave everything behind. She chose attachment before she saw security. She didn't know what was to be expected. There was a reason Naomi and her family left Bethlehem to begin with. Now they're returning there with an uncertain future. We are called into oneness through faithful love, not self-protection. Ruth 1, verse 22. Ruth 1, verse 22. Naomi returned to Bethlehem feeling empty and wounded, in a sense bitter. Ruth came with her as a Moabite widow without clear standing or future. The writer marks the season because barley's beginning quietly signals mercy already moving. Note that was already inspired for her to want to go with Naomi and them to return. Of course, he understood what time of year it was. Ruth 1 verse 22, "So Naomi returned and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab." You see how the Bible keeps hammering that fact home? It's almost rubbing it in, just to make it very clear, you know, who she was, where she was from, what her heritage was. "And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest." The house of bread was empty for a while, and now with the hope that it will be full again. Bethlehem did not remove Naomi's grief at once. Yet her grief was brought into the field of coming provision. Our Father often begins gathering us before we understand what He is doing. When we get confused sometimes, our place in the church or in society was, it's because we lose sight of what He actually is doing. It's a matter of trust, have full confidence in Him. Of course, we have to do our part. Acts 1 verse 6, Acts opens between resurrection and Pentecost. Let's turn there. The disciples ask about the timing of the kingdom of Israel that was on their mind all along when Jesus Christ not revealed who He was. Jesus Christ gave them a calling, a promise, and a wider field. And He wasn't too far stretched because His maternal and paternal lineage was clearly part of the house of David. It would have been only logical that He would come and restore the kingdom right then. Acts 1 verse 6 through 8, "So when they had come together, they asked Him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth,'" as far as Minneapolis and St. Paul. Jesus Christ did not satisfy every question about timing. He pointed them toward witness by the power of our Father. We are called and made one as we receive our place in the work of God. the empty road opens into the Redeemer's field. We are gathered by mercy. We are gathered by mercy. That's why we are here, each one of us, without exception. Ruth entered the field with need. She did not own the harvest she gathered. Mercy met her while she worked with humble hands. She is oftentimes first in the field and last out. You know, she not just kind of gathered, that's enough for me today, that's good enough for me, and I'm heading out. No, she worked. She worked the field. Let's turn to Ruth 2, verse 1. Israel's law made room for the poor, the widow, and the sojourner to glean. Ruth acted with that mercy, asking to gather after the reapers. The writer shows Boaz already present as a worthy man from Naomi's family line. Ruth 2 verse 1 through 3. Ruth 2 verse 1. Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz, a man of strength, that's what it means. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ear of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor." Naomi didn't send her to that field. She just said, "Go out to the field and see where I find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. See God's hand in this? There's nothing random with God. There's no time and chance. Ruth took a faithful step without seeing the full design. What looked accidental to the observer was held with the care of the Most High. We are gathered by mercy while doing the next faithful thing. We are not in here, none of us is in here by accident. Ruth 2 verse 8. Ruth 2 verse 8. Boaz noticed Ruth and spoke protection over her. He knew her loyalty to Naomi and her departure from Moab. You know, when Naomi returned, it was well known in Bethlehem. He said, "Who is this that you came with?" His blessing framed her story as refuge under the wings of the Almighty. That's also why we are here today. We came under the wings of the Almighty. Ruth 2 verse 8 through 12. Ruth 2 verse 8. Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink that the young men, what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Didn't have to be reminded, it was obvious, but you know, she was blown away by the kindness of that man of strength. But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and the full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Boaz gave safety, water, dignity, and welcome. Ruth's foreign heritage did not erase her faithfulness. In Jesus Christ, our Father calls the strangers near and teaches us to receive one another with honor. Let's turn to Acts 2 verse 37. Acts 2 verse 37. At Pentecost, Peter Peter's hearers were pictured, or were pierced actually, by the truth about Jesus Christ, because they just had experienced it, that incredible spectacle where there are thousands of people there from all the tribes, and on to 120 of them, you know, this tongue of fire settles. You know, can you imagine the impact that would have on the audience? And then, of course, Peter clearly, straightforwardly, proclaimed what was happening. Their question was no longer abstract or distant. Maybe for Peter, for a long time, was a bit abstract and distant until he really experienced what he experienced through Jesus Christ's ministry. And then after he was risen, they asked what response was required from them. Acts 2 verse 37 through 39, Acts 2 verse 37, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Isn't it a beautiful thing for anybody here, regardless of age, your second, third, fourth generation? For the promise is for you and for your children. If anybody ever wonders, am I called now? No, the promise. For the promise for you and for your children and for all who are far off. Not just that inside group, House of David or Jews or the Israelites. For all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Because God creates all of creation, loves all of creation. Pentecost called people to repentance and open allegiance to Jesus Christ. The promise reached their children and those far off. As far off as Switzerland. We are made one as our Father calls us to himself through his Son. Mercy teaches us to stay close together. We are kept close together. We are kept close together. Boaz told Ruth to remain near his workers. Her safety was tied to staying close, not wandering off or be a straggler. The gathered people of our Father are not formed alone. Let's turn to Ruth 2 verse 14. Ruth 2 verse 14. Boaz invited Ruth to share food with the reapers. His kindness gave more than bare survival. Her place at the meal showed welcome inside the field, not pity from a distance. Ruth 2 verse 14 through 16. Ruth 2 verse 14. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine. So she sat beside the reapers and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied and she had some left over. Then she rose to glean. Boaz instructed this young man, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her. Be generous. Don't be thorough in cleaning that field. Leave some behind. Ruth was fed before her labor was finished. Boaz protected her dignity while increasing her provision. She would go home in the evening almost more than she could carry. Our Father gathers us around Jesus Christ with mercy that feeds and restores. Ruth 2 verse 19 for the next passage here. Ruth 2 verse 19. Naomi heard where Ruth had gleaned and recognized the name Boaz. The field became more than a place for food. It became a place of hope. Ruth was told to remain near until both barley and wheat harvests were finished. Ruth 2 verse 19 through 23. Ruth chapter 2 verse 19. Her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests, and she lived with her mother-in-law. The story spans barley and wheat without turning the days into instant maturity. You know, it is a process. It's the same in our life. We grow, we develop, we grow together. Ruth remained close through the whole harvest season. Never skipped a day. We are called and made one by staying near Jesus Christ and near his people, each one of us here. Let's turn to Acts 2, verse 41. Acts 2, verse 41. After Pentecost, those who received the word were added to a shared life. That's what happens when one gets baptized, as we understand. We are added to a shared life in Christ. Their unity appeared in teaching, prayer, meals, and care. Care for one another. The body and bride of Christ became visible through daily togetherness. Acts 2 verse 41 through 47. Acts 2 verse 41. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received the food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. As we understand, that's a process. It's not one saved, always saved. We are being saved. It's up to us to make that secure for ourselves, because nothing is ever forced on us. That's a daily decision for each one of us. Pentecost did not produce isolated believers. Our little groups here, little groups there, a little fellowship here. It formed a people around the teaching of Jesus Christ through his apostles. We are made one as our homes, tables, prayers, and resources become shared before our Father. This shared life presses toward redeeming covering. We are covered to care. We are covered to care. Ruth needed more than grain. She needed redemption, rest, and a future. The gathered people learn care from the Redeemer who covers them. The same applies to us. By caring for each other, you know, we acknowledge that we have come under the covering of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Ruth chapter 3 verse 8. Naomi sought rest for Ruth within Israel's family redemption customs. As soon as she heard Boaz, the name Boaz, things started to click in Naomi's mind. Ruth approached Boaz at the threshing floor with humility and courage. She had to be coached by Naomi carefully to understand what the covenant practice was in this scenario, since she didn't grow up in that. He could have gone sideways pretty quick and was sneaking up to him and end at midnight. No, she was taught by Naomi, coached how to properly do that, what to say, how to act. Her request echoed his earlier blessing, Boaz's earlier blessing about refuge under the wings of the Almighty. Ruth 3, verse 8 through 13. Ruth 3, verse 8. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over. And behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings," can also mean corners of a garment, "over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight and in the morning. If he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then, as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." Boaz answered vulnerability with blessing, patience, and public righteousness. He didn't do anything in secret. He would not exploit Ruth or rush past what was right, taking advantage of the situation, because he knew what the right procedure process would be. Jesus Christ covers us with mercy that claims us without shame. Let's turn to Acts 4, verse 32. Acts 4, verse 32. The early believers gave witness to the resurrection with great power. Their unity reached into possessions and daily needs. The mercy received from our Father became practical care among his people. Acts 4, verse 32 through 35. Acts 4, verse 32. The full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of these things that belonged to him was his own. But they had everything in common, and with great power the apostles were giving the testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it all at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Resurrection witness reshaped ownership. Covered people became people who covered one another's needs. We reflect the example of our Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. We are made one when our lives stop being guarded as private fields. We have stopped having that urge to put a fence up, unless it's to contain a dog, obviously, but just that's mine. Let's turn to Acts, verse 1. Acts 6, verse 1. Growth in Acts exposed real strain among the believers, as we'll see. There were limitations there to what they did. You know, as the church expanded, that growth exposed real strain among the believers. Greek-speaking widows, all of a sudden we made the distinction. Even though we all agreed and saw that we all are one, now all of a sudden the Greek widows were treated separately. And they didn't get their share. Greek-speaking widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution. the apostles led the gathered people toward wise, spirit-filled service. It's sometimes easier just to take care of your own and your family, and you just kind of turn your back. They're different from us. They're from Wisconsin. Yeah, right. Acts 6, verse 1 through 7, and we have guests here from Wisconsin. In Acts 6, verse 1, in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. Verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. The assembly did not neglect. They lived up to it. They said, we have a problem. They lived up to that. They didn't deny. Because they all knew it. It's the elephant in the room at that time. They answered it with wisdom, prayer, and trusted servants. We are made one when vulnerable people are seen, heard, and cared for. Redeeming care opens toward public belonging. We are welcomed with the strangers. We are all in the same. We are the strangers, or we are a mix between Israelite and stranger. We are welcomed with the strangers. Ruth was not hidden in Boaz's story. You know, it's almost like driving it home. How many times, I didn't count how many times was pointed out that she is a Moabite. Her welcome became public and honorable. The body and bride of Christ must learn this kind of mercy. That's why we also numerous attempts sometimes are made on the leadership level within the church, and we tried again this last time. There's sometimes conflict of interest if you're not careful, because we just kind of take care of our own. We don't see beyond. When you look for advice, we just look at the guy we just happen to know, of course. It's a comfort zone, but we need to do better, especially across cultures. Ruth 4 verse 9, Boaz brought the matter to the gate before elders and witnesses. Because in essence there was a problem there, somebody needed to be redeemed too. He made it public. Redemption involved land, name, family, and future. Future meaning inheritance. And we're going to hear more up on that topic this afternoon. Ruth the Moabite was named openly in the act of restoration. It's not kind of, oh, there's just one person, you know. No, he was very open about it. Ruth 4, verse 9 through 10. Ruth 4, verse 9. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have brought from the hand of Naomi and all that belonged to Elimelech, and all that belonged to Chilion and to Mahlon, also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have brought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance. See, it's all about inheritance, that it doesn't get lost, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day. Boaz did not offer Ruth secret kindness only. No kind of secret promise. No kind of never follow through. Not the opposite. He settled it. G. Jesus Christ the same thing. If you ever wonder what he's up to right now, he's settling the matter about us. He's busy doing that. And he makes it as a loud proclamation. There will be no doubt when he returns with his bride, who his bride is. Nobody will be missing out because of heritage or connections. He gave public belonging with responsibility. In Jesus Christ, our Father brings the strangers, the foreigners, into witnessed life with his gathered people. Ruth 4, verse 13. Ruth's marriage brought birth, restoration, and joy to Naomi. She could be sweet again, so to speak, Naomi. The women of Bethlehem saw the Most High's kindness in the child placed in Naomi's arms. You know, they were God-fearing people. They saw what was happening. The line moved toward David and beyond David to Jesus Christ. And in a spiritual sense to us today. Ruth 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went in to her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and led him on her lap and became his nurse. And the woman of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Emptiness became life through quiet faithfulness. Ruth, the outsider, was woven into the line of the King, the King of Kings. We are called to welcome those our Father brings near through mercy. Let's turn to Acts 10, verse 34. Acts 10, verse 34. Somebody break that clock because it's advancing too quickly. Peter's meeting with Cornelius tested the early assembly's inherited boundaries. The issue was whether Gentiles could receive forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Because people didn't really know how that would work, especially after that first Pentecost, that was pretty much just the house of Israel there. Peter proclaimed the life, death, resurrection, and authority of Jesus Christ. It's a year later or so, Acts 10, verse 34 through 43. Acts 10, 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." Not just the Jews or Israelites. He's Lord of all. "You yourselves know that what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Peter did not offer welcome without truth. He announced forgiveness through the name of Jesus Christ. We are made one when mercy and truth meet in the witness our Father gives. The strangers are gathered into one people for our Father's name. We are already given a new name. God doesn't know me by the name David Merker. He has a certain name that he has given to us, and we bear his last name, each one of us. We are one for his name. We are one for his name. That's that final facet I would like to briefly touch on. Pentecost forms a people for witness. Acts shows the calling spread outward. And aren't we glad it was so? Otherwise the word would have never come here. The body and bride of Christ is made one under Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Acts 11, verse 15. Acts 11, verse 15. Peter later explained Cornelius' household to the believers in Jerusalem. He remembered the promise of Jesus Christ about baptism with the Spirit of our Father. The question became whether anyone could stand against what our Father had given. Because we have personal preferences, we all have our blind spots. Somebody once said, you know, are you blind? Do you have a kind of that blind spot for fellow immigrants? I guess so. And I paid my price a little bit with that too. Acts 11, verse 15 through 18. Now, Acts 11, verse 15. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. He's like amazed. And I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us, when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? Good question. Hopefully none of us would want to stand in God's way. When they heard these things, they fell silent. And they glorify God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. The believers moved from objection to worship. Because that's what they knew. You know, they had the attitude. They recognized the same gift given to the Gentiles. That it was exactly the same thing. They became objective. Because God's Spirit was guiding them. They were able to lay their human nature aside. We are made one when we stop resisting those our Father calls to life. Acts 15, verse 13. Acts 15, verse 13. At Jerusalem, James interpreted a Gentile inclusion through the prophets. The calling of the nations was not a human intervention or invention, I should say. The restored hope of David's house reached outward through the purpose of the Most High fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Acts 15, verse 13 through 18. Acts 15, verse 13. After they finished speaking, James replied, brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. After this, I will return and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins and I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old. It wasn't a new concept. They found the scripture. They realized it's been there all along. Now is the time. They realized that God has made that now was the right time. James saw people being taken for our Father's name. All nations, but then we all have the same name, last name. And he has a precious name, like we call our children by certain names, don't we? No, that's how our Heavenly Father calls us. know, there are too many Davids around. I wouldn't respond to that if you called me David, probably. No, but when he calls my name at the resurrection that I have in my heart, I know he means me. It's for each one of us. Again, James saw people being taken for our Father's name. The assembly needed scripture-shaped wisdom. That's why we need to study scriptures daily. That it makes sense, that we're not given to some fables or somebody has some idea. And hopefully nobody up here has some kind of a crazy idea. Not fear-shaped control. We are made one when our welcome, restraint, and hope are governed by the Word of God, Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Acts 28, verse 30. Acts 28, verse 30. Acts closes, actually, what's written so far. You know, that's the only book without an ending, because our names and our examples have not been added to it. The question is, you know, what do we want them to write about us? You know, but here, what was written, Acts closes with Paul in Rome, limited in movement, yet open in witness. The message of the kingdom and Jesus Christ kept moving outward. The field remains open for the called body and bride until the kingdom comes in fullness. And then there will be a new beginning, as we understand. Acts 28, verse 30 and 31. Acts 28, verse 30. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense. Didn't have an expense account or a salary he was drawing. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense in his own hired dwelling in Rome when he was under house arrest. And welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Now here's somebody who is under house arrest, but he could preach without hindrance. Paul's chains did not bind the message. He paid for his dwelling place. He invited friendlies in, and he talked and preached without hindrance. His lodging became a place of welcome and proclamation. We are made one as our lives bear steady witness to Jesus Christ and the kingdom. The accepted chief has led us to Pentecost, where the called are gathered as one. Let us conclude with Romans 15, verse 4 through 13. Romans 15, 4 through 13. May we begin with Jesus Christ, the accepted first fruits before our Father. Let us hear our calling with humble hearts and willing feet. May we stay close to one another in the field of mercy. Let us be made one through truth, care, patience, and love. May we welcome those our Father brings near without compromising the truth, hope, and witness of Jesus Christ. Let us share bread, burdens, prayer, and hope as one body. I almost wanted to add some single malt into this. And may we therefore live as the called body and bride of Christ until the kingdom comes. Romans 15, verse 4 through 13, as we conclude. For whatever, that's again Romans 15, verse 4 through 13, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to you your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope.